can do payroll.
Yes. What's that?
On second thought, Bob from AccountTemps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
So you're starting a business with no customers and no employees. You're paying a landlord and an accountant even though you have no sales, and you'll be working 18 hours a day. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, I am.
Small business owners survive on confidence. And because Constant Contact has helped so many small businesses grow, we share that confidence. Starting at just $15 a month, you'll get powerful email marketing tools, a personal coach to help you every step of the way, even a money-back guarantee. Start today at ConstantContact.com.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Ship with Tony Triano.
Yes, that's right. 8 o'clock, 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Thursday, February 2nd. Happy Groundhog Day to you. Yes, Phil saw his shadow 6 more weeks, which is always funny because we still had 6 weeks anyway. I never did quite get that, but love the movie nonetheless. I've got David Holtz coming up in just a minute. And I want to let you know, folks, because I've had some emails on this, and I plan to talk about this at 8:35. So to give you a little advance notice, Planned Parenthood had a PR nightmare yesterday with the Susan G. Komen Foundation. And we're going to get into that in greater detail at 8:35. So I just wanted to give you a little advance notice on that. I posted it to the Facebook page yesterday. Got quite a response. I did talk to Planned Parenthood of Southeast Michigan, so I've got something to talk about, and I'll get to that at 8:35. So some of you are freaking out a little bit. You don't need to. You need to relax. It's all under control, but I'll talk about that at 8:35. In the meantime, give me my intro, guys, and let's get going.
Investigating Michigan issues with his eye on progress.
We have a very ambitious plan for 2012 of really keeping the spotlight focused on how politics and our state are being influenced by these powerful forces on the right and the corporations that are behind them, so voters can make decisions with a little bit more clarity.
From Progress, Michigan, welcome back. David Holtz.
And welcome back indeed. Joining us now is the Executive Director of Progress Michigan, Mr. David Holtz. David, thanks for being with us this morning.
Hey, good morning, Tony. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, as always, giving us generously of your time this early morning. And we got a couple issues that we're going to get to today. But I want to start, David, I had Todd Cook on in the last hour. We spoke very briefly about a series of House bills that are going to the floor after coming out of committee. It's HB House bills of 50, 25, 26, 27, and 28, a package of very strong anti-union legislation that will be going up for a vote. And, David, we've I don't know. I guess I'm more than just frustrated right now. Very angry with Tom McMillan, who seems to be so disconnected from reality. What are your thoughts on the series of House bills and what we can do to perhaps fight it at this point?
Well, Tony, I think first I think you have to look at what these bills are in the context of a number of things that are going on that sort of all add up to an assault on collective bargaining. These bills, none of this creates jobs. None of this is really about improving Michigan's economy. It's introducing in these bills, more bureaucracy, more paperwork, and it goes to really the heart of collective bargaining because it really goes after dues money. And that's something that's usually negotiated between the workers and the employer as part of collective bargaining, and the politicians in Lansing are sort of inserting themselves into that process or trying to with these bills, plus lay on more restrictions on and sanctions on strikes. making, and employers are coming out against this. Michigan, the School Boards Association, saying this is going too far. And all of this is really in addition to the emergency manager law, which goes at collective bargaining as part of its approach, you know, be giving one person appointed by the governor the authority to eliminate contracts. Already we've seen the assaults on teacher tenure. And then coming out of Indiana, of course, with the passage of right-to-work legislation here, I think what we're seeing is the far right, which controls the State House of Representatives, teeing up a suite of bills and actions, starting with the emergency manager, to lay the groundwork and set the table for an all-out assault on collective bargaining through right-to-work legislation.
Well, you know, amongst the many things that I'm concerned about is, and let me just kind of take this in a direction maybe some wouldn't expect, is as a morale thing. I'm concerned about morale a little bit, Dave. And we can, you know, we can talk about, you know, rallies and all these kinds of things, but at some point, you know, everyday Americans, middle class Michiganders that are going to work every day are fighting, you know, for their jobs, because we're still fighting for jobs. We're still not creating enough jobs. We're not seeing those numbers turn around in a proactive enough way that people are feeling optimistic. And then to turn around to be a member of organized labor and to know that by virtue of just showing up to your job on any given day that there are, that the legislature is coming after you. I think that from a morale standpoint, this at some point is really going to begin to affect folks.
I do, and I think particularly over the past year, you know, workers, I think, have felt beaten down. They felt beaten down because, you know, the pressure to hold down wages because of the high unemployment rate, losing their jobs, the insecurity over losing their jobs, and the direction that our politics have taken here in Michigan of going further and further away from the concerns of workers and the middle class and really more kind of handing whatever big corporations want gifts to them. But I think all of that changes this year, because now it's an election year, and now we have people power, and I think what you're going to see is at least the potential for galvanizing workers and everyone, all voters, around taking back our government. And, you know, a lot of this depends on how well we all do in articulating and mobilizing people's concerns. If we go around and talk about Mitt Romney's dog on the roof of his sedan instead of the economic pressures on the middle class, well, I don't think we're going to win an election that's going to make a difference.
Well, again, there's so much work to do, and I think about, and I want to go back to Tom McMillan for a second. I've dubbed him public enemy number one. For a variety of reasons, I had asked my audience yesterday to go to do a little creative research and go find, you know, his filings, and they're gonna, if they follow the money, they're gonna see who's funding this guy, and it'll be of no surprise to them that the same people that are filling his campaign coffers full of cash are the same people that are benefiting from the legislation that he endorses on a daily basis at the state capitol. I find him to be abhorrent at every level. There are, you know, there are some lawmakers that need to be targeted in a profound way. They need to be eliminated. But I look at the area that he lives in. It's a very conservative, and you begin to wonder, all right, if you can't beat this guy, and I'm pretty focused on beating him, David, and that's my fight, not yours. But I want people to understand that even though we may be losing some legislative battles, that doesn't mean we're losing the overall war here in Michigan either.
No, I think you see it. I really believe that this focus that McMillan and his cohorts, Republican cohorts in the legislature, are taking away from focusing on job creation and the economy, and more toward pushing a far right and hard right agenda that serves, you know, big corporations, is creating a major blowback. We see it already in the polls where the ratings for the legislature are at an all-time low, where people you're seeing people say that the agenda and the direction that the Republicans are taking us in Michigan is the wrong direction, and you know, you're going to see the governor attempting to soften that in an election year with a lot of feel-good stuff. But I think when voters go into the voting booth this November, they're going to have choices that they didn't have before. There's a lot going on in the progressive and labor side that are going to give voters a lot more choices.
Yeah, is this an opportunity for labor, David? What's happening legislatively? Is this an opportunity for labor to step up and to kind of regain, some ground that they may have lost in the last 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest challenge for labor in terms of its membership is it's not been that people have dropped out of unions, it's that people have lost their union jobs and other jobs. I mean, you know, with the layoffs and the unemployment level. So, the biggest thing that could help organize labor is to put people back to work. Having said that, the silver lining here is that I don't think, at least in my lifetime, I have seen more energized and mobilized as I've seen labor and progressives right now in Michigan. And it's happening in a way that I think isn't going to be just some knee-jerk lockstep reaction to vote for every same old Democrat or something like that. It's really focused on the issue of helping the middle class and the economy. And I think that's going to play out in a number of different ways. For example, there is a very aggressive effort to recruit pro-labor, pro-progressive candidates for office from the grassroots all the way to the legislature, from city councils to legislature, and to challenge conservatives and the right with really progressive and pro-labor candidates. We've seen what happens when that doesn't happen. If we leave it just up to the Democrats to select candidates, you end up with people like Andy Dillon as Speaker.
All right, we got to take a quick break here. David Holtz, hold that thought because I don't want that to be the end of this conversation. A lot more to get to. David Holtz is with us with Progress Michigan. We'll take the break and we'll be right back.
It was $1 trillion and thousands of U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Iraq. It's $1 billion and no U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Libya. That's a pretty stark contrast.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch. Tony, our total traffic update, seeing that heavy traffic coming in 75 toward 696 like we get every single morning. Same thing heading westbound on the Reuther. You're still seeing the slowdowns just trying to get out toward DeQuinder to 75 and then out toward Southfield Road. Still have that problem where Gratiot is closed near 22 Mile Road because of the earlier accident that knocked down the power line.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, cloudy skies today and 42. Tonight, cloudy and 27. Tomorrow, more clouds and a high near 45. Right now at Metro Airport, we're at overcast and 36 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, Visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
April DeBoer and Jane Rowell join us now.
Again, Tony, the basis of everything came down to protecting our children and their rights. We, as Carol and Dana will tell you, we could draw up all the papers in the world to try to protect them. But in any, you know, an event, a judge could walk in and say, I don't really care about what their wishes were. The best interest of this child is to be with anybody else but this other parent. And the stark reality of that, you know, really hit home as our kids get bigger. You know, we really want to provide everything we can for them to ensure that, their rights are protected, and that if something were to happen to one of us, that they would be able to receive our Social Security benefit that a married couple and their children are currently receiving.
First Shift with Tony Trivia
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 8 o'clock. Welcome back. David Holtz with Progress Michigan is my guest. I want to go back to something he said because there's a little brilliance in what David had to say about recruiting progressive candidates. The brilliance with David is, you know, we're not just talking about at Congress and at the state level, but it's at the local level and school boards and on city councils. That's where it starts. I mean, you know, this idea that, you know, we can grow politicians in the mold of something that, again, represents what society really is, starts at that local level. That's really where that's the brilliance in what you said, David.
Yeah, and it's not just developing a farm team of people who go up and run for, you know, the United States Senate or something either. These positions with township boards and school boards and city councils are really important, and decisions are made at that level that, you know, really affect people in their everyday life. But until you start really focusing on recruiting really quality folks at all levels, and quality progressives who are representing the interests of working people and not wealthy CEOs and corporations, you're going to have what we have today, which, I mean, does anyone really believe that the class of political leaders that we have in Lansing right now are the best we can do? I mean, I don't believe that. I doubt if anyone does.
All right, because we just only have so much time when we have David here, we've got to move on, and this is a topic that is going to get a lot more notice at the national level moving forward. I'm talking, of course, David, about super PACs and the massive amount of money. We had the day before yesterday somebody on from Common Cause who has an initiative, a state-by-state initiative to, at the very least, provide transparency that Citizens United does not currently provide. With that said, David, the kind of money we're talking about in the Republican primaries is already staggering. Staggering.
It is really incomprehensible. I mean, when you think of it, you know, there's just a couple of the Republican super PACs are expected to raise $280 million alone to do in every state what we saw Mitt Romney do to Gingrich in Florida, which is just pummel him with 93% negative ads to drive down the other candidate and pollute the political airwaves with, you know, a lot of negative, often very sketchy accusations. The whole idea, though, is that it works. We know that it works. They wouldn't be spending this money unless it worked. So what are we as progressives doing about this? Well, we're never going to match them dollar for dollar, although we will have folks on our side who will be, you know, forming super PACs and trying to counter that right-wing message. But the focus on our side really is way more on us collectively as progressives, labor supporters, working in smarter, more collaborative ways than we've ever done before, sharing resources, coordinating efforts, targeting the important the voters in important ways with our message of economic economic support from the middle class, in ways that we've really not done before. And you see it in a lot of different ways. I mean, Progress Michigan didn't exist before 2007, for example. And now we're certainly have learned over the years and how to craft our message and support getting media coverage for progressive issues. And there are other groups like Common Cause and others who are really working hard to promote policies that are popular with people and have an effect on their everyday lives, like the corporate transparency policy, laying the groundwork, the issue groundwork, for the election in 2008. And that's not all that's happening. That's just a glimpse of what's happening. But at every level on the progressive side, you're seeing a lot more strategic focus.
Well, and ultimately, you know, listen, you're privy to conversations, David, that I'll never be privy to, and that's fine. You have your job, I have mine. I guess at some level, I'm happy to hear the dialogue coming out of your mouth this morning. And it says to me there's a plan. So say yes, Tony, there's a plan, and I'll feel really a whole lot better.
Well, I think that the plan really is all of us acknowledging that we have our roles. Some of us are really good at research. Some of us are really good at messaging. Some of us are really good at recruiting candidates. Some of us are really good at organizing and field organizing. And the conversation is, how do we make all of this happen to get a more positive outcome for working people during an election year? And it is happening. We are talking together. You're the messengers, like your show, Tony, and others are. I mean, you weren't here 2 years ago either, and we have a lot more of a megaphone than we had in the past. We have a lot more energy because the threat is so severe to all of us. I mean, when a right-wing legislature passes anti-labor bills, it's an assault on working people, and working people are also environmentalists, and so who care about the condition of their drinking water, and who don't want to see chemicals injected into their drinking water sources. But that's the direction this same anti-labor legislature is taking. So environmental groups are part of the equation, too.
Well, you know, and let me ask you this question very quickly because we're quickly running out of time. I think one of the things that the Occupy movement has done for progressives, even people that really didn't want to get involved in the Occupy movement, at least from a distance, David, are seeing what happens when you do get engaged. And I think that's helping move some people off the couch and maybe into the rec center or, you know, just showing up at a Democratic club meeting. I think it's helped in that regard. And ultimately, the cumulative effort of that is something that we can all utilize eventually.
My view of the Occupy movement is that it has done more to really energize particularly young people, but also give voice to economic concerns than just about anything that's happened over the past year. And I think the value of Occupy is immense. And the right tries to counter that and point to you know, the conflicts out in Oakland and all that, but they don't want to talk about what Occupy is doing, for example, defending home foreclosures or talking about the middle class and the economy, the Occupy Lansing folks do, and pushing the politics on those issues. But that's what's the reality here in Michigan, is we have a vibrant, engaged, and effective core group of Occupy movement organizers who I think are making a difference.
Absolutely. There's no question that is true. David Holtz is always a pleasure to have you on. Goes by fast. That means it was good radio, in my opinion. I'll look forward to talking to you in 2 weeks.
Great, Tony. Thank you.
Thank you. David Holtz with Progress Michigan. Again, you're going to find them online at progressmichigan.org. A quick break here. When we come back, Susan G. Komen and Planned Parenthood. What's the scuffle? We'll get to that on the other side.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch. Tony, our total traffic update still includes that problem Gratiot near 22 Mile Road where the power line had been knocked down into the roadway from an earlier accident. Looks like 96 is pretty heavy for drivers coming in toward Kensington, trying to make your way toward Wixom and in toward the 275 interchange, just like what we have every single morning. Same thing with that 75 and 696 route. Still some pretty heavy traffic there. 1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather. The forecast from the National Weather Service, cloudy skies today and 42. Tonight, cloudy and 27. Tomorrow, more clouds and a high near 45. Right out Metro Airport, we're at overcast and 36 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week. A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310WDTW.
In its Citizen United decision, the Supreme Court upended our democratic elections by decreeing that corporations and uber-wealthy individuals can dump unlimited sums of cash into campaigns to elect their favored candidates. Astonishingly, Justice Anthony Kennedy declared in his majority opinion that such a gusher of special interest money would not, quote, give rise to corruption or the appearance of corruption. Who knew so much political naivete could be cloaked in a single judicial robe? Justice Kennedy, meet Sheldon Adelson, a product of your cluelessness about how real politics work. For years, this casino baron has spent lavishly on right-wing front groups to advance his personal agenda, including pouring money into Newt Gingrich. The billionaire and the Newt became symbiotic buddies in the mid-90s, bonding over their shared fondness for crushing labor unions. Adelson was bitterly fighting Nevada unions, pushing a state law to crimp worker rights. Gingrich, then the House Speaker, endorsed Adelson's Nevada legislation and also backed a tax break in Congress for casinos. In turn, Gingrich got campaign cash, funding to support him after being drummed out of office in disgrace in 1998, free rides on Adelson's corporate jet, and backing for his present run for the presidency. In the past, the biggest personal check he could have taken from his casino sugar daddy was $5,000. After the Supreme Citizens United edict, however, Adelson can go all in to push his willing servant into the White House. This is Jim Hightower saying, so Newt got $5 million from Adelson to buy his recent South Carolina victory, and another $5 million from Sheldon's wife, Miriam, to advance Gingrich in Florida. And next? Well, there's no telling, is there, Justice Kennedy, since you've legalized the blatant money corruption of our elections.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us.
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
8:35, thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. Do not forget, this evening, the Sierra Club continues their ongoing series tonight at the Birmingham Unitarian Church on Woodward Avenue in Bloomfield Hills. Tonight's local Sierra Club presentation is Canadian Tar Sands, The Tipping Point. Excerpts will be shown from the movie and a panel discussion will follow. It starts at 6:30 with light refreshments. 7 o'clock, there will be group announcements. Guest speaker at 7:30, and then a meet and greet and volunteer sign up after that. Again, this evening, Thursday, February 2nd, 2012. 6:30 to 9 o'clock at the Birmingham Unitarian Church at 38651 Woodward Avenue in Bloomfield Hills. The local Sierra Club will present their free monthly speaker series, The Canadian Tar Sands, The Tipping Point. So go check that out. Wanted to make sure you were aware of that. I had I got early afternoon, I got a phone call from somebody outraged. That the Susan G. Komen Foundation was pulling funding from Planned Parenthood. Now, let me tell you before we go any further that I spoke to the Planned Parenthood of Southeast Michigan. This does not affect them. They don't get any of their funding from the Susan G. Komen Foundation. So you need to know that they don't get any of their funding. But with that said, if you've been on the Facebook page, you know I'm advocating for doing some fundraisers for Planned Parenthood, something we need to do anyway. Let me come back to that. But I just want to let you know that locally we're okay for now. Representative Jackie Speier, Congresswoman Jackie Speier, of California, yesterday said that she would no longer support the Susan G. Komen Foundation because that organization's decision to no longer provide funding to Planned Parenthood. She's been a supporter of the Susan G. Komen Foundation for years, she says. The Komen Organization, a major cancer research foundation that raises money through its Race for the Cure and other activities, said on Tuesday that it would no longer provide funds to organizations under federal investigation. Now, bear with me. The decision to stop funding Planned Parenthood appears to be related to House Republican inquiries into whether Planned Parenthood was using federal funds for abortion procedures. Planned Parenthood responded by saying the decision is more a reflection of a political pressure on Komen to stop supporting Planned Parenthood. Speier agreed yesterday, noting that the House Republicans have yet to even hold a hearing on how Planned Parenthood used federal money. She went on to say, I guess it means that Susan G. Komen has become a 501(d)(4) because no longer do they want to be providing nonprofits. They want to become a political advocacy group. The last time I checked, we were all presumed innocent until proven guilty. Representative went on to say that the Komen decision means Planned Parenthood will not get as much as $600,000 a year, which has helped provide for about 170,000. Listen to this. To provide for about 170,000 breast cancer screenings for women over the last 5 years. Not abortions, breast cancer screenings. Congresswoman Speier closed her remarks by asking women to call the Komen Foundation and tell it to stick to its work fighting cancer. I'm going to ask you now to all do that. Call toll-free, 877-465-6636. Listen again. Call the Susan G. Komen Foundation and tell them to stop the politics. 877-465-6636. Then I come to learn that I was able to substantiate as well, not just say it and talk about it, that the Susan G. Komen Foundation spends at least $1 million a year litigating anybody, no matter how large the organization is, that uses the phrase "for the cure." I realize it's their moniker. I get that. But is that really where their monies need to be spent? Litigating people, retaining attorneys who send out letters that say cease and desist using "for the cure." Perhaps I'll get one for just saying it on the air. We need to support Planned Parenthood. So here's what happened. I got in touch with the people at Planned Parenthood of Southeast Michigan who do some amazing work. By the way, it's such a small percentage, and I'm just going to say it out loud and get it out of the way. Such a small percentage of the work that Planned Parenthood does is abortions, less than 3%. But nobody ever wants to talk about that. They only want to talk about whatever it is they want to talk about. And it's irrelevant because you all know you're wrong, and that's why you focus on it. You know, again, the conservatives on the Facebook page yesterday got a snipe. You know, the decision is made is to keep her legs closed. Okay, that's not what Planned Parenthood, you know, the majority of the work that Planned Parenthood does is awesome work. Actually, it's all awesome work because it helps people. Anything that helps people in a proactive, responsible way is good stuff, I would think. You know, God forbid one of you need their services and they not be there for you, then what would happen? Oh, that's right. Y'all have money, right? You don't need help. Y'all never need help. Let's be careful about, you know, what we criticize and why we criticize. At the end of the day, I'm going to get involved. I'm going to meet with the Planned Parenthood people sometime in the next couple of weeks, and we're going to talk about an ongoing relationship to help them raise money, to raise awareness, to provide screenings for women, to give them opportunity that they don't have. I'm very committed to doing that. And you'll be hearing a whole lot more about that moving forward. With that said, if you would like to get involved, if you would like to get involved with that effort, send me an email and let me know, tony@thetonyshow.org. Now, before I go any further, very quickly, I have placed the A Day in the Life of Joe Republican on the front page at thetonyshow.org. So I'm going to stop emailing that to people. I did a lot, okay, kind of got a little cumbersome. So I posted it to the homepage at thetonyshow.org. So if you just go to thetonyshow.org, A Day in the Life of Joe Republican is there. You can copy it and then paste it and do whatever you want with it at that point. So pleased that so many of you were so energized by that. I'm glad that I read it the other day. Glad that it got so much attention as it should. All right. Here's I know that I got to get to this one. You know, Jeff, here's the deal. I've got, even if you were to do Tales of Interest today, I wouldn't come close to touching this stuff. Did we ever grab, and I don't think we did, did you grab the Alan West stuff where he talks about, you know, nobody can outmaneuver me?
No, I just passed it along. I didn't grab the audio.
Well, then I'm not going to worry about that right now. Donald Trump, a little later on this morning, or this afternoon, or this evening, whenever he's going to do it, is supposedly going to be announcing his endorsement of Newt Gingrich. Here's a question, Jeff. Is he going to do, you know what? We gotta do something to get rid of Mitt Romney, so I'm going to endorse Newt Gingrich. But if Newt Gingrich doesn't do the right thing, I can still run. Because, you know, he doesn't seem to want to walk away. Yesterday we were talking about Donald Trump saying that at one point, in fact, we played audio, right? At one point he was the front runner, the Republican front runner.
Yeah, that was earlier this week. Yeah.
Okay. Man, this is the funny part. Do you know when that was?
When he was the front runner?
Yeah.
Like October?
No, it was actually a year ago in February.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. When I read that, I don't know that I would have said October, but I would have probably, you know, put it back to August or September maybe. No, it was last February, dude. Last February, so he's a little delusional of thinking that at one point he was a Republican frontrunner in any realistic world. Yes, it was a year ago. It was an entire 12 months ago. I guess when you've got that kind of money, I guess it really does crazy things to your head. Michelle Bachmann, by the way, is denying rumors that she is going to be endorsing Mitt Romney, vehemently denying rumors. She's not going to announce that she's going to endorse anybody, but she certainly wanted to make it very, very, very clear that she's not endorsing Mitt Romney. Not that there's anything wrong with him. She's just not going to endorse him. And she wanted to make sure that we all knew that. For whatever reason. In the good news category, state officials have agreed to pay up to 6 months of housing assistance for former Michigan welfare recipients who lost their benefits after exceeding state and federal time limits. Two state agencies are teaming up to provide 3 more months of housing assistance, twice what was originally offered. Now, the State Department of Human Services removed 11,000 families from the welfare rolls last November, and we talked about that extensively. Because they reached the 5-year federal time limit, the Department of Human Services said those losing benefits would be offered 3 months' worth of assistance with housing and job placement. Please take advantage of it to its fullest extent. Now that the assistance will last 6 months, to qualify, recipients must report regularly to a Michigan Works Center to look for work and take steps to show they applied for jobs. The Department of Human Services is contacting families eligible for the extension. Folks, if you are one of those families, please take advantage, responsibly take advantage of everything that's there. A quick break. We'll come back and wrap it up. We're open lines on the other side. By the way, feel free to give us a call right now, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. Don't punch out yet. We've got one more segment to do. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us who don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
I believe, knowing what I know in a year as a state representative, that the answers were there for a whole long time. The problem is that people chose to ignore them. And the warning signs were there. I mean, they were there in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and 2000. And here we are today paying the price for the fact that we were living under an economy that was not an economy that is. And this is a messy divorce from the way we used to do things to the way we need to start living.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
First word.
First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. Hey, folks. Listen, very serious for a moment. We talk a lot about unions today and why it's important to be in a union. And, you know, how unions are fighting for us and really, you know, molding the middle class the way it needs to be molded. Listen, if you are in a workplace that does not have a union, now is the time to reach out to somebody to find out how you do that. Let me, again, give you a number that you need to call. 1-800-321-6406. It's 1-800-321-6406. Just tell them that you're interested. You don't have to give your name if you don't want to. Just tell them you're interested in forming a union in your workplace. You need some guidance. You need some structure. You'll get it when you call that toll-free number. From that point, then you need to make an informed decision. But informed is the key word there. And you're going to get good, solid information by calling 1-800-321-6406. Do that, and you will not be sorry. You truly will not be sorry. All right, I mentioned earlier in the show that today is Groundhog Day, and I would guess that the movie will probably be on today or tonight. I happen to be a big fan of Bill Murray and a big fan of the movie. But come to find out, Punxsutawney Phil, I knew I'd get it out, is not necessarily the most accurate rat in the world. Maybe I shouldn't call Punxsutawney Phil a rat. That's not fair. Groundhog. There are others, by the way. There are others. And I'm not exaggerating. This is a real story. Punxsutawney Phil, by the way, been around since 1887. So that's why. And Punxsutawney Phil, by the way, is a she. Did you know that? Jeff, did you know that Punxsutawney Phil was a woman?
I've heard that recently.
A female. Where the hell? I've had enough coffee. I shouldn't be doing that at this point of the day. Anyway, she is not as famous, by the way, as the Staten Island Chuck, and who's, by the way, considered the grumpy groundhog. And that was the one that bit New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg about 3 years ago. But there's Woody the Woodchuck, who lives quietly at a nature center just outside Howell. Now, Woody is ours, and Woody is far more accurate than Phil. Woody's Groundhog Day predictions have been astoundingly accurate. How accurate? Correct 9 out of the last 13 years, including last year when Woody said we'd have more winter. Phil, by the way, said we'd have an early spring.
The two are disagreeing again this year, by the way.
Yeah. But Woody is supposedly, I'm just using the words the story says, magical. Kind of like my Vinny. Vinny's magical for me. But Woody, the woodchuck. For weather predicting groundhogs like Woody and the people who believe in their powers, today, Groundhog Day is about as big as it gets, Jeff. Woody lives near Howell, waddles out of her house and stays out and says we're going to have an early spring. You know, I find it interesting because what's the difference between an early spring and six more weeks of winter? Does anybody know the answer to that question? Are we talking about what?
Three days.
3 days? You know, no, I'm serious. Is it like a week or is it 2 weeks? What is it?
Good question.
I'm just wondering. By the way, if you wanted more information on Woody, I know it's just, you know, burning at you. Woody is single and has no offspring. A groundhog friend named Chuck died a couple of months ago, but the relationship was platonic, according to this story, and seems to enjoy keeping to herself. Woody's a female as well. That might be a good thing. Grant, the Nature Center's executive director, said because Woody is not always good company. It seems she's gotten moodier. The older Woody gets, the more cantankerous she gets. She can be a bit of a diva, according to one of the people that works at the Nature Center. Woody grunts when she's unhappy about being awakened. And unlike wild groundhogs, she does not hibernate through the winter, though sometimes she naps for a couple of days at a stretch. She chatters her teeth loudly when she is irritated. She does not, however, chuck wood. And of course, you know, we're not going to get into that. You know, how much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? All right, I shouldn't have gone there, but I did anyway. Woody likes bananas, which she eats loudly and sloppily. Table manners do not appear to be her priority. Woody also likes peanuts. Mostly, though, her diet consists of leafy greens, carrots, broccoli, and rodent chow. Didn't even know they made rodent chow, Jeff, but they do. Woody weighs 10 pounds, which is average for a groundhog.
This is more research on a woodchuck than anyone has ever done.
Well, I just wanted to make sure that we got the story on. And you know what? This is a four-page story. So I've obviously just scratched the surface. I'm not going to read the rest of it because I've already read too much, and people are beginning to wonder what I'm really doing here today. But I thought, you know, we could end with a little bit of levity. Why not? Levity never hurt anybody. Now, that's not true. It's actually hurt a lot of people. All right, we got to get ready to wrap things up today. Let me take a look at my list of stuff. This is another story that Jeff sent me yesterday. The First Lady, Michelle Obama, is promoting healthy foods, and she's doing it in non-traditional areas to non-traditional people, which is, I think, is great. She's, she's really kind of reaching out to Hispanics and others. In an effort to get people just to be more conscious of what they put in their mouth, I think it's a good thing. I like the First Lady a lot. In fact, I kind of think the First Lady's hot. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Is it okay to say that the First Lady's hot, Jeff?
Sure. Maybe. Temperature-wise?
No. I think she's good looking. I think Barack did okay.
If you had to rank all the first ladies. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I wouldn't. So there's the answer to that question. But you know what? If never not. See, I was going to actually go there.
I know. You've done that a lot in the last 5 minutes. I won't go there, but how much wood could a woodchuck chuck?
All right, so I might as well go there then. I think she's probably one of the hottest of all time.
There
I think
you go.
She's even hotter than Jackie O, who, many people thought, in her day she was the cat's meow. Don't get me wrong, you know, Jackie Kennedy was a very beautiful woman.
Right. Jackie Kennedy, Michelle Obama, Barbara Bush.
And I'm so glad that we sound very distinctive so that people know that that was you talking. And not me. I would think that if we're gonna rate them, Michelle Obama's got to be number one. Somebody, you know, come up with a first lady that's more beautiful than Michelle Obama. That's all I'm saying. I don't think they can. All right, that'll do it for us today. Joe DeSano tomorrow. We got a really interesting perspective on legalizing marijuana. What's interesting about it is the group that we're going to have on tomorrow might surprise you a bit who they are and what they represent. We'll get to that tomorrow. We got a great show lined up for you. That'll do it for us for today. Anthony and Jeff, thank you so much for all that you do to this audience, who is amazing. Thank you for everything you do as well, because, folks, it's about you. Off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Tony, our total traffic update. Still watching the closure of Gratiot at both north and southbound near 22 Mile Road. It's been closed all morning because of an accident that knocked power lines down into the roadway. Still trying to clear the accident at Van Bourne and Vinoy that we had affecting traffic in all directions. Grand River near Wixom, pretty bad accident there. Looks like that's really slowing down the ride for those who use Grand River as an alternate to I-96.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, cloudy skies today and 42. Tonight, cloudy and 27. Tomorrow, more clouds and a high near 45. Right now at Metro Airport, we're at overcast and 36 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.